We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Come on, Royal Youth, how you doing? Good to see you. You can be seated. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to take a seat, and I'm going to get a few people to help me out here tonight. Is that okay? I've got a bit of a sore, busted up foot, so I can't really walk around. Is that okay? Everybody good? So I need some helpers tonight, because tonight I thought, this happened to me 21 years ago. I broke my foot, broke five bones in my foot, was in a cast for 6 to 8 weeks, and I'm about to have another cast put on me for about 6 to 8 weeks because of that injury hasn't quite... It's come back to give me some problems. So this will be the last time you see me in a shoe for a long time, for about 2 months. Everybody good? But what I did was, I was still scheduled to speak in the church in Australia, but I wasn't allowed to put any weight on this cast, which is exactly what's about to happen to me again. And so you can't put... So I had to be physically carried onto the stage and placed in a chair. And then because I couldn't move, I couldn't walk, I couldn't put any weight on it, I'm kind of cheating tonight. I'm not even supposed to be doing this, but I didn't want to miss out on speaking to you. You with me here? So I said, I'm going to do it no matter. And so what I did was, 21 years ago, I actually told one of my favorite Bible stories and then just talked about it. But tonight, I'm going to tell two, and they're different from the one I told last time. So I got Devontae and I got Ryan. Come up here. And so give these guys a hand. Come on. Aren't they awesome? So Devontae, in this particular Bible story, I'm going to need you to be a man who's laying by a pool. Now, I know there's a baptismal tank right there, so that's going to be our pool. Is that okay? So right there. So you're going to lie right there. Can you do that for me? All right, right there. Just lay down. Okay. Again, now you're actually in the pool, but come by the edge of the pool, because right there is the pool. And these people walk on water. I'm telling you, they're pretty impressive. Now this guy, now this is a Bible story in John chapter 5. This guy has been lying by this pool for 38 years. And he's crippled. He's disabled. He's unable to walk, he is deformed, he's jacked up, and he's with a whole lot of other people who were just like him. This is the true story. This is the story in the Bible. Once a year, just once a year, an angel, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be the angel. And the angel, show me what angel wings look like. Show me angel wings. Angel wings. Yeah. I mean, wings. You're not the karate kid. Show me angel. Wings. What are wings? What do wings do? There we go. That's good. And what do wings move? There we go. That's like a chicken wing. I'm looking for angel's wings. Throw your hands out. Long. There we go. Now show me wings, the flap. All right. This is a true story. This is a true story. Once a year, here is this man. He's all broken. He's lying by the pool. And he knows that once a year, that an angel comes and touches the water. And the first person to get in the water got healed, right? So could you imagine how many people who were broken and crippled that would be by this pool hoping they'd be the first one in? And literally once a year, and it was never on the same day, it was never the same time, but once a year. So show me what an angel looks like coming in. Just show me coming in and just touches the water. Come on, show me, show some pizzazz here. Show some, here we go. Show a little bit of personality. And all right, come on. Now you got to touch the water. Just touch the water, like that. And then whoever got in, totally, the true story in the Bible, got healed. You got it? And Jesus learned that this guy has actually been laying there for 38 years. Now, how many know he's missed out a few times? Now, this is how it works. Once the angel touches the water, you're not done. Come back here. You're still flapping. Get up here. Just keep flapping there behind me. Once a year, listen, the first person after the angel did that, the first person in the water, the first, not the second, the first that got in that water was supernaturally healed. And Jesus learns that this guy has been laying there for 38 years. There was hundreds and even thousands of people lying by this pool, just waiting for their chance to be the first one in after the angel touched the water. Think about that. And now Jesus walks up to this guy, Jesus, who's a healer, Jesus, who went around healing and raising people from the dead, Jesus, who spat in people's eyes. And don't worry, Devontae, you might be crippled in this story, but you're going to love who you are in the next story. And I'm not so sure you're going to be too thrilled about who you're going to be. So if I were you, I would really play this angel gig up because, yeah, there you go. And so Jesus actually says to this guy, he's been laying there for 38 years. And think about this. This man's broken legs. He's deformed. He's disabled. And Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? Now, the guy's laying by a pool for 38 years. That's got to tell me he maybe at least at the beginning wanted to get well, but he's gotten used to his friends. He's gotten comfortable with the people he's hanging out with. And somewhere this guy forgot why he was there. 38 years. 38 years. And you're telling me not once were you in first? 38 years. And listen to what the guy said. I've got no one to help me. Whenever I try to move in there, someone always gets in before me. And I've got nobody. And I want you to, young people, think about this. How many of you have heard your friends or someone give an excuse why they don't change? Mate, they realize, yeah, something's not right in my life, but they have all the excuses why they don't change. It's always mum's fault. It's always dad's fault. It's always the teacher's fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's their brother's fault. It's their sister's fault. It's the fact that their mum and dad are no longer married, whatever. It's the friends that I hang out with and I'm just not willing to change my friends. Reasons why people don't change. Listen to this guy. I got no one. I'm all by myself. He's not by himself. This pool is full of hundreds and thousands of people. Are you catching me? And whenever I try to make an effort, in other words, when I ever do get motivated, there's always someone better than me, faster than me. And it's like we can use excuses why we don't do better. You don't understand. I just, if I just came for more money, if I just didn't live here, if I was born into another family, all the reasons, it's the teacher's fault. Oh, dear God, that I used to hear that from Josh Kelly. Josh was so good at blaming the teacher. So here it goes. Jesus walks up to this man, and listen to what he says. And this is the best part. The angel's standing there. The angel knows he's not touching the water on this man. Jesus looks at this man, and he says, get up. And that he literally, this man, was instantly healed. See, the healer was standing in front of him and the healer was confronting him. Are you willing? Do you want to get better? Jesus knew he'd give all the excuses. None of us in this room will live the full life that God wants us to live as long as we blame everybody else why we are the way we are. We've got to accept responsibility for our life. And do you know what? Right now, there's a whole lot of blaming going on. COVID, it's this, it's that port, it's that person, it's the governor. There's a whole lot of blaming going on. And let me tell you, there's a whole lot of blaming going on across our nation and culture. And I just want to encourage everybody, come on, let's not blame somebody for why we are the way we are. Jesus wants you whole. Now, here's the story. Just be Jesus for a minute because you're going to need to be after what I'm about to do to you. All right. So Jesus, stand up, Devontae, because you're healed now. Okay. Isn't it good? Okay, and you're going to be Jesus, all right? You're praising the Lord. You've been laying there for 38 years, and now you're walking, all right? And listen, I want you to listen to this. This is important. Jesus says to this man, I see you're better. And listen to what he said. Powerful. Listen. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happens to you. So Jesus is saying to this man, not Devonte, but he's helping us understand. You understand? It was you living a sinful life that got you in the state you're in. And if you now go back to that sinful life, what you thought 38 years by a pool was bad, a worse thing will happen. Can I just say this? There's always consequences to sin. Every time. It may look like you got away with it. It may look like nobody knows, but God knows. And I just want to encourage us. Do you believe it's possible to follow, live a life that follows after Jesus? Do you believe it is? And I'm not saying you've got to be perfect, but how many believe that we can live a life that follows after Jesus? Do you know what the Bible says? If we say we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Whenever you hear someone say, I've never done anything wrong, they're lying. Because the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, listen to it, we deceive ourselves. And we do not have truth in that area of our life. But if we confess our sin, anybody willing here to say, you know what it's like? No one had to tell you. You knew you did something wrong. Anybody willing to admit it? All right, here's the thing. If you confess it, watch this, God will forgive it like that. And he'll cleanse you. He'll heal you from the guilt and the bad feelings that come. He'll do it like that. And it's over and it's forgotten. And the Bible says God will take your sin, my sin, and he'll drop it. Listen to this. In the sea of forgetfulness. He'll take it and he'll throw it as far as the east is to the west. Do you know those lines never meet each other? They keep moving in opposite directions. God will never remind you of something you've asked God for forgiveness for. The devil will try to condemn you, and he'll try to condemn you to tell you, do it again. And he'll tell you how good it is and how enticing it is. And then when you give in to it, guess what he does? The same devil that said, do it, now says to you, see, you're not a Christian. See, you're a hypocrite. I just want you to remember this story tonight. A man lay by a pool for 38 years. He had all the excuses in the world why he was the way he was. There's always a consequence. When Jesus said, see, you better go sin no more. Listen to it. Don't have excuses for your life. Don't blame other people. You just accept personal responsibility and you get it right with God. There's the first story. Come on, give these guys a hand. All right, here's the second story. You ready? Okay, now this time, Devonte, you're going to be Jesus. All right? And Ryan, you're a blind man, and I need you way over there, way over there. And I want you with your eyes closed now, Ryan, because you're going to have to find your way to us. Way behind the drums. Go behind the drums. All right? And here he is, and he's blind, and he hears. Now, I don't know if you know this about people who've lost their hearing or people who've lost their smell. Or lost their taste or touch or their sight. Did you know that when that happens, your other senses get better to help compensate the thing that you've lost? So if your sight is gone, it would always be your hearing that would increase and your sense of touch. Are you hearing me? Because you can't see. It's amazing how the body works, isn't it? And so here is this blind man. He can't see. And we don't know how long he's been blind. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know he heard. Why did he hear? Because his hearing went up. He heard that Jesus is in town. So Jesus, I just need you to be busy over here somewhere. Just be busy over there. And there's lots of people talking to you. Up on the higher stage though, Jesus, if you don't mind. Praise the Lord. And you just hang out there. And now I need Ryan. And you're just going to start talking, Devonte, nice and loud, so that Ryan can work his way towards you. Ryan, with your eyes closed now, eyes closed, don't cheat now. You got to find your way to Jesus. Can you do it, Ryan? Yep. Can he do it? His hearing is actually improving as we speak. Yep. You go, yep. This is how this man found Jesus. This is how he found Jesus. Like, don't think I'm kidding. Yeah. All right, except Jesus wasn't doing this. Jesus wasn't doing this. He was just... All right. Okay, yep, now. Yeah. Okay. All right. You found him. All right. There you go. You got him. Give him a hand. He found Jesus. Ryan, you're still blind. Close your eyes. And now I need you to come over here because I can't go over there. Both of you come down here. That's it. No, he can open his eyes to come to me. It's all right. Yeah, I don't want him falling off the stage. Okay. Now, so you're closing your eyes and you're Jesus. Okay. You're the Son of God, Prince of Peace, Lion and the Lamb, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who this man's coming to. And this man somehow has heard if he could somehow just get to Jesus, there could be a chance he'd get his sight. How many would be willing if there was a chance for you to get, if you lost your sight, you'd do anything to get to Jesus, wouldn't you? And so he gets to Jesus and listen to the question Jesus asked the blind man. It's the same thing. And that other question Jesus asked the guy laying by the pool, do you want to get better? It sounds a bit cruel, doesn't it? Of course he wants to get. He'd been laying by a pool for 38 years until you hear his answers. And then you find out why he is the way he is. Until you hear Jesus say, go sin no more, lest a worse thing happens to you. Then you get insight to the whole story. Well, listen to this man. This man is come to Jesus. We know what he wants, don't we? He's blind. But Jesus says, what do you want me to do? Well, I'm thinking to myself, what is Jesus blind to? How does Jesus not know? Why would Jesus ask a blind man, what do you want me to do? It's obvious. Well, you never know. He might have had an ingrown toenail, I suppose. He might have said, look, I've got a headache. But you got to make sure when you talk to God, you're really specific what you want. And so this man says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Okay? I want to see. So Jesus, the only thing this man hears, catch this, is, Devante, I need you to conjure up the most grotesque sound of bringing a spit to your mouth. Can you do that, Devante? What's that? Come over here. Use the microphone. We all need you because this is all. Ryan, your eyes are closed. You're blind. You need. I mean, bring it. I don't mean don't bring it up, but show us. Tell us what it would sound like.
I'm sorry in advance.
You think I'm kidding? Jesus is actually having a bit of fun with this one. And he's going, and this blind guy is going, what is he doing? And the blind guy, remember, his senses can hear better. So he kind of thinks to himself, I'm pretty sure I know that sound. And then, now the blind guy's asked to get his sight back, and Jesus, listen, spits all that spit that he brought into his mouth. We'll just call it saliva. There'd be other words for it. How many of them feel like throwing up right now? Just the thought of all this. Okay. Spits on the ground. So go ahead. And now he spits on the ground. And then he starts playing with it in the dirt. And the blind guy is going, what's he doing? And they're all going, whoa, you don't want to know, man. You just don't want to know. And then Jesus picks up the spit and sticks it in the blind guy's eyes. All right? Now watch what he does. I love these stories. These are real Bible stories. Then Jesus tells the blind man, he doesn't right then and there heal him. He tells the blind man to go all the way to the other side of town where there's a pool. And he goes, go wash out your eyes that of the mud from Jesus' spit. He's got spit dripping down his cheek. And he's walking through the town, and everyone's saying to him, so just begin your walk, Ryan, back now to this pool. And everyone's saying to him, all right, everyone's saying to him, dude, what are you doing? He's going, well, I asked Jesus to heal me, and he spat in my face. He put mud in my eyes. And then he told me to go wash the mud out. Like, he didn't heal me. He just put mud in my eyes. And the reason why I think Jesus told him to go to the other side of town is so everybody that saw him would see him blind going with mud. And then the Bible says, okay, there you are. Start washing it out now, Ryan. You found the pool. Start washing your eyes out. Start washing your eyes out. Just start washing. And to his amazement, when he washes his eyes out, for the first time in his entire life, he can see. And he comes running, the Bible says, back to Jesus, leaping and jumping and praising God. Are you hearing me? We have too much of a sanitized version of Jesus. Jesus used to rip it to the Pharisees, to the religious people. You brood of vipers, you dogs, you're full of dead men's bones. But we've got this picture of just nice little Jesus, but the Jesus I know is going to challenge people. Don't stay lying there. Are you hearing me? The Jesus I know can do supernatural things. And it may look like he just put some mud in your eyes, but he just opened your eyes. And they're two of my favorite Bible stories. There you go. Give these guys a hand. Amen. Is that good? Two of my favorites, all-time favorites. And I just want to challenge everybody here. Look at me. I'm never here as your pastor to put any shame or any condemnation on you. Hear me? Never. I would never do that. That would be wrong. But I am here. The Bible actually says there is no condemnation for anyone who's in Christ Jesus. But I am here to say, come on, let's do our very best to live the best God life we can. And let's keep a quick ability, if we cross that line, to say, God, I'm sorry, and get it right. Can you say amen? And think about it now. Jesus said to that man, listen, don't do that. Don't do this anymore, or a worse thing's going to happen. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Listen to it. You can change. You don't have to lay the victim. You don't have the excuses anymore. Just one encounter with him, and you can change. And let me tell you, everybody here tonight, as far as I can see, excuse the pun, see, blind, can see. Are you hearing me? But not everybody. Listen to me now, and I'm done. I'm going to pray for you. Not everybody here can see with spiritual eyes. There are some things you see with your natural eyes, but the Bible actually says we should pray and ask God to anoint our eyes so can we see what's really gone. Do you know how I found out I was a Christian? Do you know how I knew I was a Christian? After I went to church and gave my life to Jesus, I want you to hear it. I used to go into the bars and clubs. In Australia, you're able to go into the bars and clubs a lot younger than you are here. And I used to go in way younger than that age. And I used to go in there and see these rock bands play and people getting drunk and doing drugs. I've seen knife fights. I've seen gun fights. I've seen people stabbed. I've seen people killed. And I used to go into all that scene before and think nothing of it. Enjoyed it. Laughed with my friends. And then I went to church and I gave my life to Jesus. And now I would go back into that club and to that bar and with my friends to the parties we used to go to. And I'm going to tell you, this is how I knew I'd become a Christian. I sat there, see if anybody relates to this, and I thought to myself, Steve, you don't belong here anymore. This is not for you. And I used to look and see the things that I used to do before and go, this is wrong. Does anybody know that feeling? You can see. And you see. And I remember one night, I rang Sharon up. She was what I was hoping to be my girlfriend. And I used to ring her up. And one night, I rang her up. I said, Sharon, I can't believe it. I see what's really going on now. This is wrong. This is not my life anymore. I don't want that. I want God. And I want to pray for anyone here tonight. And I promise you, Jesus is real and God is real. And I want to pray to you. Maybe God's opening your eyes tonight. I'm not talking about just going to church because your friend goes to church. I'm not talking about going to church because your mom and dad made you. Where you had your own encounter and experience with Jesus. And just maybe tonight, look at me now. Just maybe tonight when I talked about that man that laid by the pool. And you know that you've been caught in a cycle of sinning. And you know what sin is. I don't need to tell you that. We all know what it is. Do you know even being unbelieving is a sin? Did you know cowardlessness, is a sin? Lying's a sin? We've all sinned. Hello? I, as a pastor, have sinned. Are you hearing me? If I say I haven't, I'm deceiving myself. But if I confess it, then He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Are you hearing me? And if we don't keep that soft and tender heart to God, to just say, God, if I've done something wrong, I just give it to You. If we do that, I'm telling you, you'll live out the best Christian life. Are you hearing me? But I remember the first time I first ever made that decision. I'm so glad I made it. And there just might be some young people here tonight that want to make that decision. Can I pray for you? Is that okay? Hey, look, young people, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you tonight? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about going to church with your friends. I mean, have you ever had your eyes opened? Where you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. It's not just because of your friends. Are you hearing me? You know it. I used to go into universities after I gave my life to Jesus. And these intellectual, you know, supremacists, it's the only way to describe them, used to come into my Bible study classes. And I would be asked by the students in the university. And they used to say to me, oh, you're a pastor. I go, yeah. And you're a Christian. Yeah. Usually works Christian then pastor. And they go, well, I suppose you're one of those Christians that actually believes that God made the earth in 7 days. And I said, of course not. What kind of a fool do you think I am? Do you think I'm stupid enough to believe that God could possibly make this entire world in 7 days? Of course I don't believe that. And they looked at me and said, really? I said, no. He made it in 6 days and He rested on the seventh. Some of you will get that later. I know He's real. Look at me. I know He's here right now. I know He's just tapping on your heart tonight. I just want to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I'd love to pray for you. If you've never publicly confessed Him, I'd love to pray for you. You say, what's publicly confess Him? Just by lifting your hand. That's a public acknowledgement. Steve, pray for me. If tonight you know that you are caught in a habit of sin that is keeping your relationship with Jesus being all it can be, I'd love to pray for you. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. But you can get it right with God. Is that okay? Can we pray? Can we all close our eyes? Can we all do it right now? And I'm talking right now just to you as I close. See, if you say, Steve, pray for me tonight. I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, pray for me tonight. I've never had that personal relationship with Jesus. Steve, pray for me tonight. I've got something going on in my life that has got me in bondage and I want to confess it tonight and be free of it. Lift your hand right now all over the building. That's it. That's it. Keep lifting it. That's it. Keep lifting it. Wonderful, wonderful. Not too bright, guys. Keep it dark in here. That's it. Hands all over the building. All over the building. All right. I'm going to get everybody to pray. And I know I'm talking to some people who are Christians here tonight who are saying, look, I've got something going on in my life that I just need to give to God. And I know you're lifting your hand. I know there are other people tonight lifting your hand because you've never, ever given your life to Jesus. I'm talking to people who don't yet know Jesus, and I know I'm talking to people who do know Jesus, but you're showing a willingness to get this right. And can I just say, I applaud every one of you. Can everybody right now put your hands down and let's clap. There were many. Let's clap these people. Well done. Stop blaming your brother. Stop blaming somebody else. You take it. You deal with it. You answer to God with it. Is that good? Amen. You can change. Everybody say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask You tonight to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive You now as my Lord and Savior. Help me now, Jesus, to live for You and serve You all the days of my life. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. My sins are forgiven. They are dropped into the sea of forgiveness. I have a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give a Lord a hand.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.